Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate. But Met Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Spock. Oops!
Mr. Kim. There, Kim. Are you happy? Kim Miller, the doctor, took umbrage with the fact that my last podcast kind of hurriedly dashed off, did not have that sound clip saying Mr. Kim. And the reason was is because I pulled down the sound because I don't know why, because I was doing whatever and I forgot to put that back in there. But it is somewhat apropos for this episode because of who is voicing that. That Mr. Kim. I'm Mike McCaffrey. This is the podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. Episode 195. We've been doing this for almost 5 years. If you've hung on this long, thank you. 5 years ago, podcasts were all the rage. And now they've changed so much. 52, 53 years ago, Star Trek was just starting to become the rage. 50 years ago, it was just starting to become the rage. It's been the rage the past 50 years. And now it's changed to something very much different. I was reading on Reddit the other day, and someone said, oh, we are at peak Star Trek. There are going to be two shows on coming up in November. There's going to be Star Trek Prodigy, and then I believe it's Star Trek Discovery is coming on, fourth season. And they're like, this is the... No, they didn't say peak. They said this is the golden age of Star Trek. And in some ways, they're right. I mean, there are four series right now, right? There's Prodigy, there's Lower Decks, there's Discovery, there's Picard, and Strange New Worlds is coming up. And don't forget about Section 31, right? I mean, that's just around the corner. Maybe they're still polishing the script. They're so close. But in that respect, yes, this is the golden age of Star Trek. I would submit that to me, the golden age of Star Trek was right at the crossover between Next Generation and Deep Space Nine. Because then you had the synergy completely lined up. You had Next Generation, which was astronomically popular, just super popular, handing over the reins to Deep Space Nine, which was going to become a little bit of an underdog, a little bit of a kind of like a, you know, it would still be popular, but it tried not to be popular. Deep Space Nine tried to be the kind of redheaded stepchild of the series. And to some degree, you know, it succeeded, right? I mean, we don't want to be the bright and shiny Star Trek, you know, Next Generation. Oh, well, okay, it's dark, it's brooding, and, you know, some people have turned away from it. But if you stuck with it, you liked it. And while that was going on, the movies were happening at the same time. They were gearing up for Generations, the marriage of the original cast with the Next Generation cast. And the merchandising was off the charts, off the hook. I remember going into Targets all the time, or Meijer's when I was living in Michigan, and you go through the toy aisle, and it was a solid wall of Star Trek action figures. Everything I could have hoped for was Star Trek toys and Star Trek ships. It was so amazing. That, to me, is the golden age of Star Trek. Here, we have a plethora. Here, we have an overabundance. A cornucopia, perhaps. Lots of fruits and vegetables coming out of that cornucopia. Do you like fruits and vegetables? Sure, you like some of them. Some of them you don't have a preference for. And it's gotten to the point now where when a show comes on that has the moniker Star Trek on it, and I watch it, sometimes I go, is this Star Trek? And I'm not 100% certain any longer. This week I watched Star Trek Prodigy. Friend of the pod, Matt Stompy Thompson, got me the code for Paramount Plus. And so I booted up Star Trek Prodigy, the pilot. Actually, I watched that in the first three episodes I watched. And as I'm watching it, every once in a while, a reference to Star Trek would pop up in this Star Trek show. And I would say, wait, that's right. I'm watching Star Trek. And it wasn't because I had forgotten. In some ways, it's because the show didn't want you to know it was Star Trek. And maybe I'm saying that like it sounds disparagingly when it comes out of my mouth, but in some ways I very much believe that, because there were so few cues that this was actually a show about Star Trek in the first two episodes that to me, it was just pleasing space show. The show is about a crew of young children, a group of young kids, teenage, tweeny kids, who start off on a mining planet. They are slaves on board on a mining planet ruled by a robot and a mysterious guy and his daughter. And then they find themselves underground with a starship, the Protostar, USS Protostar, a Federation starship. Again, I was like, oh, that's right. This is Star Trek. Which they then hijack and take into outer space as they're being pursued mercilessly by this this weirdo dude who sits in this gelatinous fluid and his robot friend. And I tell you this, and maybe it just all seems quite flip, but to me it almost felt like Guardians of the Federation. There were so few cues there that told me this was Star Trek that, again, when it came up with the title screen at the end, Star Trek Prodigy, like, oh, that's right. This is Star Trek. Of course, at the end of that, you know, two-episode pilot, we did get the biggest cue from that when the hologram of Captain Catherine Janeway shows up, Kate Mulgrew. There's some question as to how she was able to show up based on when she returned from Voyage, all that sort of stuff. Doesn't matter. She shows up there, like, for the last minute. And up to that point in time, it could have been anything. I mean, it could be Obi-Wan. I mean, really could. It could be, you know, Drax who shows up. I mean, because the show had so few cues, besides the fact that it was a somewhat Voyager-esque looking ship, there was nothing about that that was Star Trek. You know, I think about it in totality of the shows which are in this cornucopia. This abundance of Star Trek, and so many of these shows try to run away from being Star Trek. Not your father or your grandfather's Star Trek. Maybe not even your Star Trek. Maybe not even Star Trek. I mean, certainly Discovery has tried to both embrace and run away from Star Trek, whatever Star Trek is. Every time it tries to get close to Star Trek or try to name check something, then it immediately destroys it all. And in tone, if you remember the pilot, was about an officer who instantly mutinied against their captain. Which, you know, I was just watching the Tholian Web and there had never been any mutinies on board a starship. So, all right, well, there's one. And then she does it again and again. She does like three times on that show. So maybe that's not the Star Trek. And Picard, right? Picard, he absolutely has nothing to do with Starfleet. He's been sitting on a vineyard. You know, he eschews anything about the Federation because the Federation's been a failure. In this and in Discovery, the Federation has been somewhat of a failure. Section 31 has undermined it, constantly undermines it. Lower Decks is maybe the show I need to watch a little more because it does embrace Star Trek, and so I'm on board with that. But then Prodigy is so far removed from Star Trek and the Federation, literally, that by the third episode, when Janeway says, oh, if you want to go to the Federation? And they say, no, we don't want to go to the Federation. That's a bad place. You know, why would we go there? They make all the rules. We'd want to go there. And so Star Trek once again runs away from Star Trek. And how interesting that is, that every series up to that point embraced Star Trek so fervently. The original series, Next Generation, the animated series, Deep Space Nine. Maybe Deep Space Nine is a little bit further afield because it was still the Federation, but in an outpost. Then we went right back to it. We did the reverse, a Federation ship trying to get back to the Federation space, and then finally Enterprise, you know, which was the beginnings of the Federation. But in every single one of those shows, you have people bravely carrying the Federation banner and saying, this works. And at least three out of the four of this series so far, they are walking away from the banner and saying, this doesn't work or we don't want it. Strange New Worlds have come out, and that, I know that will be fully and unabashedly about the Federation. I'm glad for that. So, now, as far as the Prodigy, again, it's like Guardians of the Federation. It's a group of, or it could be Star Wars. Someone says it's like the Clone Wars. It could very well easily be that. It's somewhat indistinguishable from any other space show right now. I mean, and that's not necessarily a bad thing if you like space shows. I like space shows. And everything about this was well done and pleasant. The animation was really nice. You know, I mean, you know, for a television show with that kind of animation, was really beautiful. The color palette was really nice. The animation was really crisp and strong. The voice acting, really good. They get some real high-end actors to voice some of the stuff. John Noble and Jimmy Simpson, I believe, from Westworld. Westworld's terrible, by the way. And a few others there. Oh, and I should say, someone I've been trying to get on the pod, my friend Bonnie Gordon, who I knew from Universal Studios, the entertainment capital of L.A., is now the voice of the computer. She used to work at the Star Trek Experience in Vegas. And now she is canon of Star Trek. She is the voice of the computer on Prodigy. Good for you, Bonnie. That's great. I am happy for that. The animation is great. The voice acting is great. Michael Giacchino's score was amazing in that first episode. So good. So much further beyond than what children's animation deserves. This is such a hybrid between children's animation and aspiring to be a feature film or feature film quality. And we've got Giacchino coming in and doing that music. And there's one clip that sounds very much like Raiders when they're running away from the boulder. And it sounds very much like that when they're running away from peril. And I know he does it a nod because he's such a good writer of music. Everything about this tracks really nicely. Even the story. The story is wonderful and fine. You know, I mean, the kids eventually get on board the ship. They escape this place, and they're being chased by the robot and the bad guy in the gel. And you know, they're going to learn how to become cadets kind of osmotically because they're going to learn how to pilot the ship. It's lost in space. It's Firefly. It's a band of ragtag people. You know, it's a classic trope. But it still isn't Star Trek, at least the Star Trek we knew. So I sit here and I say, have I become old, or has Star Trek moved so far away from what it used to be that it is just Star Trek in name? Has Marvel moved away from what it is? Is it no longer about superheroes? I don't know. I mean, I watched some of the TV shows, maybe, I don't know. Star Wars, they seem to be moving closer back to, I mean, if you don't have a lightsaber in Star Wars, man, it's all over. If you don't talk about the Force, man, forget about it. So I sit here and I say, perhaps this show will be good. I enjoyed the first three episodes. I don't know how to feel about them as Star Trek. You know, certainly as Star Trek pilots go, by and large, we've done a pretty good job with pilots. Where No Man's Gone Before, good. The Cage, good. Encounter at Farpoint, a little uneven, but they got back to it with All Good Things, right? It became kind of like the pilot and the finale. Deep Space Nine, The Emissary, is great. I love that. I love his confronting his sorrow. You live here. Ah, so good. The Caretaker, Broken Bell, After that, Discovery. They ate Captain Georgiou, right? Didn't the Klingons eat her like in the second episode? That's weird. So this, not bad. You can't judge a series by its pilot. You can start getting an inclination by the second episode. Second episode, I kind of got the idea. You know, hopefully they're going to, like, get on board the ship and run around and have a good time. The purple kid, and then the girl who's the daughter of the bad guy, and then the rock girl, and the blob, which looks like the blob from the Orville, but just doesn't talk. Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. Yeah. This is about the lightest, weirdest, worst review I've ever had on this. But again, I don't need to talk too much about this. I just want to give you my thoughts. My thoughts about a show which exists, which has a name in front of it, which we all recognize and I've been doing a podcast about for the past 5 years. And so maybe I'm the one who is no longer part of this universe. When I went to pitch Katie Krentz 5 years ago, my Star Trek idea, it's actually a split between Lower Decks and Prodigy. It was about a family that lived on board a starship, and we followed the kids. And the kids almost being this Willy Wonka-like world of getting to live on a starship and all the fun that surrounds it. Lower Decks meets Prodigy. Oh, well, it's out there now. So that pitch is no longer relevant. But that's okay. Am I relevant? Of course I am. Are you relevant? Of course you are, because you're listening to this podcast. I don't yield anything. So I don't know if I'll be like watching the rest of this to review or I don't know quite where I'll be on this. 195 episodes out, I don't know where I'm going. Sort of like those kids. The Voyager is trying to get home. The kids are trying to go further out. Am I trying to go home? The voyage home? Or am I trying to continue to explore strange new worlds? I'll have my thoughts on the 200th episode. It's four more away. But until then, I'm Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek. Oh, and Kim, if you're listening, somehow I erased the ending of my show because I added you back in. So this is all your fault.